Pat, you're a little girl.
Thank you. Who wants to read the minutes from last week's meeting? We should ratify the minutes and then we can move on. Oh, you read them?
I did.
And they were accepted and approved?
Yes.
All right, good. On to new business.
Took a break from time.
So, what's new? Any good gossip? Spiritual experiences?
Well,
I was thinking of In the God of Vida the other day, and I turned the radio on, and In the God of Vida.
Okay, there you go.
That's a spiritual experience.
Psychic.
I listened to it for whatever it is, 20 minutes or so. So I'm quite shoddy.
27.
27.
Psychic serendipity.
I had it up loud.
In the God of Vida, baby.
Don't you know that I love you?
Yep.
It actually brought back some emotions from the old days. Wow, I remember this thing. It was like in columns, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know if I listened to the old things. Mm.
A band called Iron Butterfly still tours.
Really?
But there's not one member remaining from the original band. There, I think they used to tour with the original drummer.
Yeah.
But he's been done in.
Yeah.
So now it's a cover band of Iron Butterfly.
You think that they come on, man, you can do it. You think that they're
yeah, he was young, that's right.
Okay.
Doug Engel was the keyboardist and the principal vocalist.
I'm trying to open something on the way to work this morning in the car.
I was like, God damn it, I'm going to put some jewels in this car.
You know what happened when that opened.
Somebody else want to give me a drink?
I will.
Okay.
All right, well, that's your spiritual experience.
I'm done.
You're good. This is spiritual experience show and tell. What's yours?
So,
that's Pat. That's her spiritual experience. She just opened the seaweed chips.
So, 5 days running, I've been poking needles in my cat and giving him IV fluids.
Yes.
The last time I did it, he actually growled at me.
Does he have
lungs? Oh.
No, he has subcutaneous fluids because he had really bad kidney issues. All of a sudden, I came back from on a trip, and he was like a third of his body weight was gone. He was just wasting away. Happy as shit, but he was just wasting away. So I'm like, forget it. I'm just not doing this anymore. Done. I opened up his cat door, let him go outside, figured, bye, Binky, I'll see you later.
Yeah.
Sitting out on the porch last night, he didn't show up. I'm bawling.
No.
My favorite cat, I'll never see him again.
Huh.
He eventually shows up. He's really doing quite well.
Nice.
And I find out from the neighbor it is possible that you can have really elevated numbers like that, kidney stuff, like if he eats like a lily or something.
Oh.
It's highly possible that he may not be dying.
That it was,
and maybe I just have to get
the wrong
over
thing.
The hump. Yeah. And I love it when it's like, you know, and he still could be. You know, who knows? But
well, he is.
It is, yeah. But fast versus slow.
Yeah. That's my spiritual experience.
Yeah. Dying.
Nothing like a mortality reminder.
Yeah,
thank you.
We all need a mortality reminder.
Uh-huh. So he's better.
Well, he might be. I got to see him, you know, a couple more times, but he's definitely happier, and I'm not hitting him with any more needles, I don't think.
Okay. What's the next order of business?
I think it's a pretty spiritual experience when you find, if you've been believing something solidly enough to, like, really upset you.
Yes.
And you get a complete turnaround.
Yeah.
That's not necessary. There's a complete turnaround, but like the possibility is gone that it could really totally be not what I'm thinking it was. Hello?
Hello?
We're full up here. I closed the door. Do you have any room?
Is the door locked for some reason?
I guess it is. I closed it. I guess I should have left it a jar.
Or at least left it at a door.
We thought it was a wild animal.
Francine found out there were snacks. Now she wants to come in.
Really? She dreamed of cherries and seaweed chips, and they occurred.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if I would have preferred those or Inagata de Vida. Depends on your mood. You are resolving your breezeway issues?
Yeah, but you know, it takes time. I have a contractor coming in and put this somewhere.
All right.
Now that's a spiritual experience. Dealing with contractors.
Patience. Studying patience.
That's right.
I wrote a 3-page history of our time at the house.
Nice.
Just because I thought I could put a good spin on it.
Yes.
And when they then read the inspection report, it will be like, oh yeah, this, he was talking about that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It won't
credibility.
Like, yeah, it won't be like, what? It, you know, it's a crawl space that can't be, you know, accessed. You know, it's like.
Okay. Stuart Little uses it.
Yeah, probably some snakes down here too.
Huh.
We haven't had any mice.
Well, then you tell them it's closed off so the snakes and the mice
that'll be up to
each other.
Alright. Well, we'll have to wait for the next person to tell us their spiritual story. We're fresh out. You can go twice if you want. I mean, opening the bag was...
I'm sure that I have something with the...
I think your story of just coming to this group is a pretty interesting story.
Okay, I started coming here in 2010.
2010.
One of the original attendees. And it was fruitful. How bad? I don't know.
Yeah.
Now you have a boyfriend. You've been out of jail for quite some time.
You?
Yeah. Nice guy song that delivers.
Mm-hmm.
You want shit to happen?
Yep.
You don't have any
sweat.
You're welcome.
That's right. Sorry about that.
Well, you're
we thought out. You might come in and rob all the furniture. Oh, wait a minute. Sorry.
Where's this Texas in the piece?
Taking the holes back.
Yeah. Make sure you're in arm's reach of the cherries.
No. That's what I was doing.
Nice. So we all shared a spiritual story. That means...
No.
All right, fine.
The door was locked.
All right, fine. You're off the hook.
That's really fun.
Spiritual story. Well, why? Are you like serious? Are you looking for? Are you
always
something
serious?
To be said on this.
Well, I don't know. I was just trying to throw a little butter in the pan and see if we got anywhere.
I could maybe.
Oh yeah. All right.
Okay. Here we go.
Yeah.
I can remember.
Oh gosh.
Here, see this moment only. Waves of what appear toss and catch with greatest delight in perfect uncertainty. This is life.
Oh.
Look, and I made a painting while she was reciting.
very artistic group.
That's nice. I like it.
I like a poetry.
Thank you. I was thinking of that one that's an old one. Nowhere to stand, no place to fall, no knowing anything at all.
Well, now you're allowed to take a cherry.
I don't want one.
No.
See, we cherry.
Yeah.
All right.
about the reflecting and trying to remember what the little thing on the t-shirts that Paul hasn't had in some what that said. And I think it was what is seeking is what you're seeking for.
Totally.
What?
Looking is what you're looking for.
That's St. Francis.
I think it's looking.
Oh, really?
What's looking is what you're looking for, something like that.
Oh, I thought it was seeking.
Which he said you should wear to the nightclubs. So when the girls step over.
What's looking is what you're looking for.
The St. Francis quote.
Is it?
Yeah. Is it?
Something like that, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Wow. That's going to be cool.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's safe for Paul to plagiarize St. Francis because there's no royalties on that.
I thought it was a Hederman original. I didn't realize it came from
He'd like you to believe that.
He's not the only one that uses it. So
that's right. Yeah. Yeah, when you get down right down to it, he's pretty dull.
St. Francis or Paul?
Paul. St. Francis is dead.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. That was a cutie. I like
that's right.
So what is seeking? Of course, it's not who is seeking.
Mm-hmm.
What?
It's what is seeking.
Looking.
What is is what you're, you are looking for. So, you know, if I'm taking that to mean don't get lost in person, personalizing things, in the personification.
You could take it that way.
I mean, that's just one aspect of it.
It won't help.
No.
But it's not, it's a fair interpretation.
It won't do no good whatsoever.
It won't do any good. But why not put it on your fireplace? Yeah. Make a nicer embroidery.
Yeah. Oh, etch a sketch.
Etch a sketch is good.
There's
like nothing here.
Sorry, yeah, there's not even a pot to make tea. We'll have to reconsider.
There's not a pot to piss in.
There's not that. You still have to go downstairs to urinate.
That's what the Lord made the great outdoors.
Yeah.
All that stuff was there, huh?
I didn't realize everything was there.
This is too. It's too big to. It's too big to own.
Is morning glory like now?
They're gone. Morning glory's gone. Yeah.
I have this.
And another, as I understand it, another preschool is moving in.
All right. That's a lovely space.
Maybe it's a Zen preschool, and this is it.
Aww. Can we come here every day?
It would
be better than work. We come up with all kinds of fun games.
Nam-myoho renge-kyo. Nam-myoho renge-kyo.
That wouldn't be long before we were at each other's throats.
Nope. Doesn't take much. As soon as the cherries and the chips run out,
mm-hmm.
we'll be after each other.
Tell your guys buying the snacks. It's Francine's turn.
She just eats them. It looks cute.
Yeah, I'm just behind sleeping in the snacks.
You know, when you when one craves a solution for whatever it is that you imagine you have found, then you remain under the delusion of what it was you thought you'd found. And whatever solution you might hope to find will and can never appear. And if something appears, it's not going to be a solution. It's just going to be more of same. It's going to be yet something else found. So if attention, I'm not even insisting that there is such a thing, but if you had to look at the curious nature of experiencing with shorthand, you could say there is attention, then there's what's found in attention. And if you want to, you could refer to the ether as the volume in which attention and what is found in attention, you know, appears. But you don't have to go so far. So if something is found in attention, it immediately, quicker than you can say, boo, or cherry, turns you into an object. Anything that's found in attention, and then attention gets excited by what it has found, then objectifies attention. That's duality. That's what
we do all day.
Well, yes. Were there a day, you could say, yeah, you're doing it all day. Yeah. The curious observation is that there is no all day. There's really not anything at all. There's just the curious effervescing of attention and the appearance of things found in attention. That's what there is. And even that's saying too much.
In the consternation of one's day and the give and take of that.
The constellation and consternation of one's day.
We won't mention the conflagration.
The constellation of the conflagration. The constellation of the consternation of one's day. I like it.
Sometimes.
Conspicuously appearing.
Sometimes a little poem or a little something.
Mm-hmm.
Can cause you to go off the high, you know.
Well, no. Well, it's not correct. Because you're reflecting. By reflecting what's actually occurring, nothing happened before now. Nothing's actually happening now. So reflecting is just a presently appearing imagination. And if you look at it closely, reflecting as a presently appearing imagination is what I'm suggesting, is something is found in attention. In this case, we're referring to it as memory, or an idea, or a sentiment, an emotion, a sensation even. So you see, if you're telling a story, and no one can do anything but that, so I'm not singling anybody out. I mean, like, look at what I'm doing. Telling a story. As you're telling a story about what you think is an event that occurred, that's just a presently appearing memory. And it's not actually referring to an event, because there was no event. Memory doesn't refer to what actually occurs. It only is referring to itself. Memory has no marker. It's a presently appearing hallucination. It really has no link or veracity at all. That's what's curious to see. Because the moment you go to memory, you're conjuring what you think are events prior to so-called now that occurred to you, that you're remembering them with tremendous accuracy, emotive, right, squalor, and you can say something about yourself, or you can say something about reality because you're so fucking clever.
Or your cat.
Or your cat. That's right. But you can't, because what you're imagining now is absolutely autonomous. It has no link at all to anything that happened prior to now. So a fantasy is created presently, felt as, you know, durable experience, stored away, in a manner of speaking, in whatever we call brain or blood gases or, you know, the hologram of what you take yourself to be. Then you think you can remember it with some kind of accuracy or authority. And that's how you create, or this creates, this durable sense of self. By imagining that what is appearing in thought is actually referring to something. But it's not. What's appearing in thought is only referring to what's appearing in thought. Because nothing else is occurring outside of your imagination of what's occurring. That's how strange present experience is. If you want to put on that safety belt, or that, you know, that oxygen mask as it falls from the top of the plane.
So duality is a hoax.
Duality is an absolute hoax. Non-duality is a worse hoax. Yeah, non-duality is a worse hoax, because non-duality is an imagination about an imagination about an imagination that referred to as duality, which makes it, like, completely absurd. At least duality's got this to count on. You know, it's like, give duality some credit. At least it's got this. Non-duality's got nothing. It's really got nothing. Even as a remedy for duality, it's smoke and mirrors. It's a fog. That they have a science and non-duality conference tells you just how serious duality can get. What? Anything that comes to mind as a plausible, call it event, consequence, implication, outcome, or story is all imagined, is entirely imagined, is entirely superimposed by what's appearing in the miracle of what you call your experience. It means nothing.
It's like an overlay. I'm like, I think we're really smart, so we're like, no, 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 no.
We
it's
think
like,
we're really
it's
smart.
It's like total irrational insanity going on.
That's right.
I got this.
That's right.
I'm so smart.
All that's occurring is the act of creation, but it doesn't create anything. Nothing happened prior to this moment. Nothing will happen hence, which is the revelation of the proliferation, liquidating proliferation of creation, the act of creation. But it's a mistake to think that it creates something. It doesn't create anything, nor does it have anything, nor does it have any building blocks with which to create anything. Not Higgs boson, not periodic table, not photons, not gluons, not nothing. It's got nothing. It can't create nothing. But it's a persistent refresh, absolute novel refresh of nothing at all. That's the act of creation. So all you've got is the proliferation of creation nonstop in your face as your face. The moment you tell a story about it, you found an object which makes you an object, and now you are a dumb fuck seeker, and Adyashanti can't help you. It's that simple. It's miraculous, but it's simple. What's that leave you with? Nausea. Pretty much. Pretty much. It's like, oh, feel so good. I'm ready to go to the movies. I got to get something to eat. I got to see my therapist. What you've got is this completely like fucked up, nauseating dystopia. And then we drown it out or bury it by entertaining ourselves. If you drop the entertainment, what do you got? It's like, well, I don't really feel so good. This is pretty fucking strange. And you don't want to feel that if you can help it. So you avoid it at all costs. And it's not like you're doing that consciously or unconsciously. This is mechanics. This is not personal. It's mechanics. What's the mechanics? Attention, which is nothing at all, finds something and becomes instantaneously fascinated with what it has found. Bam! Duality. Doesn't matter what the content is. It's superfluous. It's not relevant. How do you get out from under it? That's a big question. It's a good question. Not that many people are asking that question. People want to be ameliorated of the content of their suffering. But if they fail to see that suffering, or whatever, and you call it the miracle of sensuality and the miracle of self, is suffering, forget about what's happening to you that sucks. Because this is just like, I'm really nauseous. Oh, God! That's what you got. People are after bliss. You know, the TM people want to lift off the cushion, and these people want to do that, and these people want to save the world, and these people want to meditate at the same time. You know, everyone's got something going on. You get enrolled with anybody. I mean, even this bullshit that we do. You get enrolled in it. What's happened? You have been seduced into an environment. And then your subject, which we are all the time, 24/7, subject to some kind of hypnotic, right? Hypnotic implication. That's it. You're being hypnotized all the time by one thing or another. And that movement of hypnosis, which is a synonym of something being found by attention, and then attention gets all excited by what it's found, is ongoing. You cannot escape it.
That is a nausea.
Well, it all depends on how you feel it, you know?
Yeah.
It's like if you really feel it, you're like, fucking consciousness sucks moose cock.
Okay. Well, leftovers from Tuesday.
But we don't want to get that, you know, honest about it. So instead it's like, well, what can we do with this? Oh, I can get a job.
Oh. Make the best of it.
I could be positive. It's a new day. It's a new attitude. Best day ever. Rah, rah, rah. Let's make the best of this. Better than being nauseous.
Jamie's getting a little green over there. Stop it.
I wonder if you knew that Archer wrote a book called Nausea.
Well, he was onto something.
Yeah.
Really?
He was onto.
It's pretty naked. This is pretty naked. Really. And in an instant, with no time lapse, this will suggest you and the world, including all of your memories and all of your fantastic reputation. Everything that everyone should love about you. And all the shit that they shouldn't love about you, well, you do pretty well to hide it away. I mean, even your therapist doesn't know a fraction of what the fuck is going on with you. Your partner just gets the, you know, just gets the worst of it.
Yeah,
oh, 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 oh. Mine. Now, so we take this pile of egoic horseshit on the road to the master, drop to our knees, and say, "Help me."
Yeah.
I'll give you money. I'll give you volunteerism. I'll take my clothes off if you want some of this. You'll give them just about anything just to get out of the misery of the myth of that you're an object. And most of those fuckers, they're going to take your money and your affection and your adoration and your adulation and your volunteerism and your genitals, if that happens, and you'll think you're getting somewhere. That's how bad it is out there. Or you can go to the Science and Non-Duality Conference and make a big deal about a ghost of a ghost of a ghost of a ghost that means nothing at all. I just like to go grocery shopping and take Pepto-Bismol to deal with the nausea. This is so strange.
Well, I hear that marijuana settles the stuff up.
Yeah. It does, because I got high and the air conditioner melted and I was okay. I didn't get nauseous.
Well, you know the official drug of the night sky Santa is marijuana. Everybody knows that.
I was just pretending I didn't know.
Yeah, right. It's like Gatorade to the NFL.
How did I end up here? How did I end up here?
I don't know. It's pretty fucked up.
It's pretty fucked up.
I have a question, which is, you know, whatever. I'll be stupid.
Probably.
If someone goes to the master,
I wouldn't disagree with
you. Because.
Yeah.
Because they won't release or whatever. I mean.
We can all appreciate that.
It makes it so. It's impossible. Because the premise.
Yeah.
Is so flawed.
Yes.
That it's impossible.
That's right. Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
You're better than that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's my
There's a lot to be said for the, let's call it, adult confrontation with impossibility. Because if you're not willing to go that far, then you're just going to be a remedy fiend, a codependent acting in and acting out remedy fiend, if you're not willing to go to impossibility. Because you're going to keep holding on to some idea of yourself, or idea of your life, or idea of your suffering, or idea of the remedies that you can purchase, or participate, or practice, or purify in, and you just become
getting somewhere.
Yeah, you just remain a fiend. Yeah, you remain a product of consciousness. You're a product. You're like on the assembly line. So if you have the let's just call it the curious magical touch of grace to have a relationship with impossibility, that rocks. Because impossibility, as it deepens, your reputation goes, your history goes, your plans go, your quarrel with reality goes, your shame goes, your blame goes. You got nothing left. You have nothing left as you are willing to have some kind of relationship with impossibility. As it goes deeper, then you could say you start, you know, to plagiarize Peter Brown, you start noticing. But noticing is very tricky because everything becomes an object instantaneously. Everything does. You can't help it. Even emptiness. Emptiness. Bam. Right? Noticing. Bam. Nirvana. Bam. Right? Brahmanic samadhi. Object. You can't escape it. But the implication of noticing is more dynamic as you tease it out. Now, you can notice, you know, radiant presence, and that can really kick your ass, like in a good way. And that is definitely a form of yogic purification. It is. Noticing is a shift in the right geometry of attention to wean yourself from the commonly held beliefs that one has about everything. So you're moving away from commonly held beliefs and starting to practice what we would call presence, meaning you're presently interested in what is so, what can be felt or seen or touched or tasted. So it's a kind of a mindfulness, but even mindfulness becomes an object. So noticing is a, let's say, a reconsideration or reconfiguration of one's present attentivity. In the early stages, we become excited by what we find because this is very exotic. Reality is very, 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 exotic to the point of passing out, if not nausea. But we don't notice it because we've dumbed down the curious nature of experience through belief and superstition and repetition and the iconization of self.
Seems like we can't get past the first thing, the first couple things, you know, bird, bluebird, you know, this, look, that, I mean.
Object naming is, by its nature, extroverted.
And going down into the systems of right. What have you.
Yeah.
But it seems that noticing can just, instead of going down, just get more diffused.
Yes, yes, yes. That's the idea. Of the yogic purification process referred to as noticing. Yeah, because now attention starts, you know, out here is, let's say, the mega funnel of everything that can be named. But as you go down the funnel, you name fewer and fewer and fewer and fewer and fewer and fewer and fewer things until the noticing is actually noticing, call it the felt sense, right? The presence of attention itself. Not as the body, not as the mind, not as the person, not with plans, not with justifications, or any fucking healing to do. Your thumb? Your bum. Well, why don't you put your thumb in your bum and break it back out?
I was sick of
it. We're all doing it.
Help, I lost my thumb.
Our habit is to apply ourselves to deal with what is unpleasant or pleasant. So, see, the application of applying yourself is a presently appearing myth, even though it makes it appear as if you are the enjoyer or the sufferer of continuity, individuated continuity. You're not the enjoyer or sufferer of individuated continuity. You're just...
along for the ride.
You're along for the ride. Yeah.
That's a tough one to really believe, because it so seems like I can ramp up the whole
and you can.
Program and a whole plan.
And you can. That appears. The ramping up, the association and the identification and the curious application of one's intelligence, right? And playing chess with life means you can create an incredible fortress of idea. That incredible fortress of ideation, which includes emotion and felt sense and the entirety of you, is virtually appearing. but we take the virtual apparition of things found in attention as reality, as the evidence of my life. It's the evidence of something, but I'm not quite sure it's the evidence of one's life.
We sure do attach a lot of meaning and explanation around things.
That's right. Meaning and explanation is nothing other than meaning and explanation. Nothing other than something has been found.
But it's kind of like a separate entity from what we think it really is applied to.
Well, that's why I think it's referred to as anthropomorphization. Because the movement of association, the movement of pattern recognition, the movement of sensuality and space-time is an anthropomorphization. Sure, it sure feels like. Sure feels like me. It sure feels like something. You may as well call it me. And we can participate in what we might call a togetherness, but the only feelings you're having of reality you're having there. This is apparitional to you. But you are sensing, give me just a second, you are sensing the full palette, the full fascination, the full nausea of your experience.
The full Monty is happening right
here. The full Monty is what you got. Yeah. Now, wouldn't it be fun if the revelation of the full Monty of experiencing sees through or puts down the impulse of something found in attention?
And that's all you have is the full Monty?
That's right. Then what's left, if anything's left, is really unspeakable.
It's just this.
That's why that phrase is used, just this. But in the hands of an idiot, this becomes an object. In the hands of a yogi, this fucks you up. It's the same this, right? In the hands of an idiot, it's an object. In the hands of a yogi, oh, fuck, it's a portal. Mm. Or more than that, it's actualization or realization. But actualization and realization are really just big words for nothing at all. As the ruminating mind fasts, becomes, without a lot of fanfare, somewhat quiescent. As the energy of story making is relaxed. Just relaxed. No, you know, just lighthearted. No big deal. Just, yeah, fuck it. Then you sense the fullness of the miracle of experiencing. But you're not suffering from time. So your rapture is real time. Rapture is real time. Not suffering from time. And the rapture is not object dependent. Though the beatitude of experience goes on unabated.
Real time.
This is your rapture. This is it.
I tend to think of no time. Is that the same as real time?
Yes. Real time is no time. I ain't got no time. I ain't got no time.
It's this. I mean, real time is this.
That's, yes. Which is strange. You could say it. Yeah, real time is this. That's right. But what? You see, because this, whatever this refers to is what? Well, it's a liquidating...
Yeah, and the
it's a liquidating hallucinogen.
And
hallucinogen.
Not standing still.
No. No. No, it never can. It doesn't stand still.
It's creation.
And yet, you could refer to the rapture of real time as profound stillness. Yeah. And it is referred to that way.
So what suggests the hallucination of self is simply attention finds something. By virtue of attention having found something, it anthropomorphizes quicker than quick can be. And this is ongoing. It's not like attention stops finding things. You could say what changes, if anything changes, is that if something is found in attention, which is ongoing, it has no implication. That's, you could say, the maturation of noticing. Because now the so-called noticing as a yogic purification has come home. Now there's no entity noticing, nor anything being noticed. The myth of duality has resolved. But you'd be an idiot to refer to that as non-duality. Then there's a lot of idiots. And you have to get used to, I mean, this is the task at hand. It's like, Mr. Phelps, your job is to get used to rapture, rapture in real time. If you fail, all knowledge of your whereabouts will be disavowed by the Department of State. You know, when the phone booth blows up. So that's your job. You're not an assassin or a Mission Impossible guru. Your job is to become familiar with rapture in real time. Get used to it. Stop convincing yourself that it's worthwhile to wiggle free from it. By telling a fucking story. Even those all stories, you're welcome.
Or even just ongoing, constant distraction.
That's right. Those are the same.
I think cell phones are the most amazing tool for avoiding rapture.
Yep, they can be.
Also, there's going to be something.
Cell phones, computers, all kinds of things.
Yes and no. Because rapture in real time is not, it's not possible for it to be obscured.
Even by...
That's right. That's right. But that's, you know, part of the geometry of the discovery. But I'm not trying to lay shit out there as if, you know, I'm the least authority in the room. What do I got?
Nausea, apparently.
Just nausea. That's right.
I'm going to ask you something about something you said, which I may not remember correctly now. Something about, you're talking to Jamie, the apparition appears to you. Is that what you said?
Apparition.
Apparition.
Oh, those are the same.
Does that sound like...
The apparition and the aberration are the same.
Right. So if you redefine you...
Yeah.
Then it's not an apparition. Apparition? It's you.
Okay. Yeah.
Which is an apparition.
See, you can use the same word. Paul Hederman uses the word mind as Buddha mind. I will sometimes use the word mind as the shithouse of self.
Mm-hmm.
You can use the absolute the same way, and consciousness the same way, and duality and non-duality. You can use any word any way you want to reflect the unspoken or a house of cards.
It's all double entendre.
It's right. It's metaphor all the way down.
But see, in my mind, the simplicity of let's say reality,
yes,
does that.
Yes.
It takes those words, those same words.
Yeah.
And it,
yes,
owns them.
Yeah, that's right. It owns them. It projects the hypnotic effect of phenomena.
So like I like the fractal I haven't used that term lately. Fractal.
Fractal funhouse of all my sorrow.
No, I don't know what's going. Everything is fractal, so it repeats. There is only, let's say, you. There is only you, so everything has to constantly repeat. It can't do otherwise.
Okay. I don't think Einstein would argue with it.
I'm exhausted now.
That was quick.
Move a lot.
If the suggestion that what is occurring, if anything at all, is the magic of the creation event, that something was created is a myth. That's presence. There's no causation or implication.
Or result.
That's right. Or result. This is creating.
There's sensory experience. Yes. Breath moving in and out. There's a bunch of chips. Yes. There's your
right.
voice. There is something. You can't deny that.
What is the something that you found?
Experience. Sensory input. Sensory experience.
Okay. If you don't name it, sensory experience,
texture,
what is it?
It's kind of like texture.
If you peel the texture away, if I don't insist on an association with what you're skillfully sincerely referring to as something, as experience, as texture, right? If you peel the associations away, if you don't objectify it, what then?
Mm-hmm. There's no handles on it. There's no agents.
And let's say from that kind of subtle right availability, would you still refer to it or insist that it was something?
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't know what it is, but I would say it's something.
Okay. So that something that you just uttered was a different something than the one you began with. Yeah. From my imagination. You could say it's not nothing. But or and that this gross or subtle something is apparently appearing is, you could say, a distraction.
In most cases, the same thing.
Yeah. To even feel it as a big something or a less or a less or a less or a less or a quieter, subtler, oh my goodness, something, right? And there's no end, right, to the, you could say, the calculus of this disappearing.
Mm-hmm.
There's no limit, there's no end to the calculus of its disappearing.
Is that what makes you nauseous?
Yes.
Like standing in a seat in a stadium? A steep stadium, like a hockey stadium. As a kid, I remember doing that. I was like, holy shit, it looked like I could just fall off and end up on the ice from, like, you know, multi-tubes up. It's pretty bizarre. Story. Even that seemed very real. I can see a picture in my mind.
But this is, you know, fourth dimensional.
Mm.
Highly pixelated.
It's interstellar, isn't it?
And it appears that it's congruent. So you're hearing, seeing, tasting, touching, whatever, you know, smelling, tasting, imagining. And it appears as if this cacophony of absolute chaos is what? Is coherent. That your thoughts are about what you think they're about. Or the movement of language spoken or mentally occurring is actually referring to some kind of actuality.
You give everything all the meaning it has.
That's right.
Another way to put that.
Yeah, but it's subtler even than the course, or let's say teachers of the course, are willing to go.
It has nothing to do with you.
Yeah, because it doesn't have anything to do with you.
Yeah, these thoughts, I mean, it seems universal. I mean, when I hear other people express themselves, I'm like, Yeah, I know that thought.
Right.
I mean, they're just thoughts.
Yeah.
But I know I certainly take ownership for my share of thoughts.
Okay.
So you start to hang out with people that are willing to sort of share their inner world more honestly, and you're like, well, I guess I'm not so unique.
There's a lot of therapy that surrounds
me. We're all fucked up together.
Meaning, or the giving of meaning, is really curious to consider. Like whether this is something or not, is really curious to consider. So at the first, you know, at the kind of a superficial level, one feels either elated or ashamed or guilty or responsible for giving the shithouse of my life all the meaning that it has, because now the Course in Miracles has more or less told me in a diplomatic way that I'm a fucking idiot. And that and has imbued me with, call it, the magical power that I can now, with that information, do something about the repugnancy of my idiocy. Now you start struggling with will, sticky notes, choice, the law of attraction.
Hope.
Right? And you're applying yourself, though you are a myth, to the amelioration of your own disquietude and the ego mania that has finally boomeranged and hit you in your own face. And that only will take you so far. You just become more of a self-aggrandizing egomaniac as you make spiritual progress. You become insufferable. I've become insufferable. I finished the whole workbook. I've become insufferable.
Suffering
succotash. Suffering succotash. Then we become, or have always become, dependent upon consciousness, dependent upon experience, dependent on our stories about experience and other stories about their and our experience for the construction of our reputation, our existent reputation. Now we're just stuck in metaphors. Entitlement and all of the sorrow and aggressivity and exploitation that accompanies that. And there's a lot. There's a shitload of afflictive emotion and afflictive acting out when it comes to the hegemony of samsara.
The fun never ends.
The fun never ends.
Not in this one. Turn it off. Off the madness.
So you're invited, always invited to consider the next open doorway. You're perpetually passing through a plasma of novelty, which is the effusive nature of proliferation. So you're just tripping. Like nobody's business. Just tripping. As the myth and the inertia of story subsides. You're just tripping.
Tripping before or after or both?
It's always been that. Now, it's very, very strange, and it creeps up on you, how you begin to be delighted, nourished, resolved in tripping. But tripping has no objects. It does not become anything. It doesn't resolve. It's always ambiguous and indeterminate. I'm stealing Peter Brown's vocabulary.
But you still function in your life. You know, you still make sure you got the keys so you can get someplace in the car.
It appears that way. But it turns out it's not even any consequence to you if you do or you don't. It doesn't matter whether your life stays glued together to your sensual satisfaction or not, because you're just tripping. It's like your life is actually happening to somebody else. And you don't give a shit if you ever meet them. Really. I mean, that's a little funny, but I'm not really exaggerating. This is none of your business. So whatever is occurring, let's say, within the boundary field of what you call your flesh, is really happening to somebody else. And it doesn't matter. It would actually be best if you never met them.
It kind of sounds like a relief.
This is where the you comes from.
The you both.
Before, I guess. Because you it's actually, it is happening to you and in you and through you and by you and of you and
yep.
Whatever.
That's right. That's right. Whatever goes on and on, you can keep, you see, it loves to be sung about. Why do you think Rumi went insane? He was like, oh, fuck, this loves to be sung about. Tag, I'm it. He would have been better off going to the coffee shop, just keep a cool profile. But you see what happens, you become enraptured, and then this just sticks an ice cream stick up your ass, and it's then you're it. Right? If you're passing beyond the pride of self, if you're passing beyond the causal presumptions of reality, if you're passing beyond your reputation, and your interest in the likelihood or hope that your life will remain on a somewhat pleasing course, you're fucked. That's how compelling, how subtle, how intimate samsara is. It's so good, you have a rat's chance in hell of getting out from under its influence. That's how good it is. It's going to kick your ass all the way to the grave. I didn't build it. I didn't design it.
Don't blame me.
Which is, if I, you know, let's just circle it around. That's another encounter with impossibility. This is going to kick your ass all the way to the grave. You are not going to get out from under the influence of samsara. You're still so prideful and interested in what happens to you and how people perceive you. Fine. Good luck. Give it your best shot. Go get them. Be positive.
Can I lick them, join them.
Join them. If you can't lick them or do well, lick them and join them. That could be fun. So, like I said, if you're unwilling to have a relationship with impossibility, you've still got too much pride. This room's not going to help you. Because it's still really important that you know something. That you have had spiritual experiences. That you've been initiated by gurus. Nirvikalpa Samadhi types. It's really important to you that you have a heritage, a lineage. That you've been given a name, like Shukananda Goswami, or something like that, which happens to be my spiritual name. I'm not proud of it, I just have one.
Shukananda, go fuck me.
You should call me Shuk. From now on.
We'll call you
Shuk is actually short for
we'll
such an idiot.
Shitsicle
is good.
Shitsicle.
Is that why we
had a popsicle stick up our
rant?
That's probably why.
Shitsicle. Shukadev Goswami. That's right. Okay, where were we?
Shananama Shitsicle.
Shananama Shitsicle. I'm in. Barney and the Shitsicles. You must lay down your weapons and your shields.
But not your snacks.
But stay the course when it comes to snacks. Freedom can't be from what you'd like it to be. Free from.
Butt cherry?
That's too much. That's too much. Preference and projection.
Assumption.
The myth of self, the myth of consciousness, the myth of sensuality. The myth of one's continuity and reputation. You might start out thinking you'd like to be rid of some amount of suffering that you're having up until that point in your so-called life, and that you can actually select the degree of suffering that you're going to be free from. And then this sneaks up on you and just pulls your pants all the way down to your ankles. Puts a popsicle stick up your bare ass and starts swinging you around like a puppet. That's where freedom goes. You started out thinking, oh, this was going to be a good ride for the likes of me. Your pants are pulled down, an ice cream stick up your ass, and then you're just twirled around like a puppet.
Like a shitsicle.
Like a shitsicle.
Sorry.
And you're like, what happened to me? I thought something was gonna happen.
If you is this, then that's all that has that crap.
I mean, as far as everything that comes out of your mouth is scripture. I'll buy it.
If when you say you mean this, then that's all that has ever happened is you can swim around.
All right, so tonight you're the queen of tautology.
I'm stuck on the word you.
You.
This you is like... up my ass. Shitsicle Simi.
Yep. Welcome to Nirvana.
You've got a box of shitsicle.
What attention discovers on its way down, suggesting it could be way up, I don't care. Northeast is good. On its way, wherever it thinks it started, wherever it thinks it might be going, as attention weans itself from what it finds, then it doesn't anthropomorphize. Now you've lost the reflex and suffering of having to do or care or make anything out of what you imagine your life is. Because whatever is happening is not happening to you, it's happening to somebody else. That's how constructively, dare I say, spiritually dissociative you're invited to be.
You're crazy.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's got to be fucking awesome. Because whatever's going on is for sure as fuck not happening to me. It might be happening to somebody else. And it would be good if I never meet them.
Just swing them around with a popsicle stick up their ass. You might get a shit.
Yeah, I mean, if whatever this is happening, is like, nobody asked me. I didn't sign a paper.
Nope.
She's this wants me to believe that I'm the product of this, or that this is happening to the likes of me. Fuck you. I'm not buying. That's the end of pride. So you'd better not pretend to be humble about it. Because that would be like a Buddhist or something.
We really know the difference between bullshitting yourself when you're full of pride and pretending to be humble versus really truly not caring. There's like a real difference.
There's a difference.
And just completely set it down, it's yeah. different.
Yeah, there's a difference when you pass through the wall of impossibility. Or if you're still banging your nose against it. If one realizes whatever the fuck that is, you could say this intimacy, immeasurable intimacy, rapture in real time, simply presents itself as the default. Wow. Wow. Holy shit. Rapture in real time sneaks up on you, presents itself as the default, as the primacy. Then what you call your life is truly happening in a dream and not happening to you. So you don't have to pretend to be humble, and you don't have to speak in the third person to draw some kind of attention to yourself. Drink Pepsi, smoke cigarettes.
Give everyone the finger.
Give everyone the finger.
As usual.
Business as usual.
Business as usual.
Without running into anybody.
It's business as usual. This is rapture in real time. And it just doesn't fucking matter what it looks like. If you become one of those cross-eyed yogis that always fall over, so you're surrounded by acolytes that are holding you up far out, I hope you find enough friends that will keep you upright. You might just keep falling over. No one will notice you. No one will notice you, and all you can do is keep falling over, because rapture in real time is crawled right up your sphincter.
This sure does like butts.
It's a chakra thing. It's a, you know, from the earth up. It's got to start somewhere.
Leave the root chakra out of this.
Yeah.
The first chakra ahead of you.
You see, if you dismantle the myth of individuation, you know, in the basement or the sub-basement, if you dismantle it in the sub-basement, you never get up to women's lingerie. But once you've gotten up to women's lingerie, you'll never get back on the elevator.
You're stuck in lingerie.
You're stuck in lingerie. That's your life, stuck in lingerie. And not all of it is clean. And I'm not just referring to the ogres of the feminine side of the species. This is all in. This is everyone's aroma. You're stuck in everyone's aroma, wandering around floor number 7, women's lingerie. And no one can get you back into the elevator, back to the set basement, so you can start again. It's, well, here, this is like, I love this. This is so fucking believable. I'm a fun life. I care. I matter. I feel shit. I can have salami and eggs. Oh my god. Who will get this up? Audition, I'm doing a lot of suffering. Nice to hear. Pay on the way out. Pay on the way in. When you dismantle the myth of individuation in the sub-basement, then you don't take the elevator up. You leave through the vents. You don't go shopping. You just leave through the vents. And your car remains in spot number 78, never to be retrieved. All mind can want is continuity of experience. What mind craves, sensuality craves, what the myth of self and the myth of individuation craves is what? More of same.
Or to get away from more of same. Don't give me that. That's like not good enough.
But all it can actually imagine is more of same, whether it's the absence or the presence of something. You see, that's how cranked up the delusion is.
No wonder we're boring.
Yeah. No wonder we're boring and unimaginative, even though we're remarkably imaginative, to the point of extinction, I think.
Well, it's either more of same or more of repulsion.
Okay, I'm just saying, if you look at anything the mind imagines it can or should find, it's only going to be more of same, because the mind, the sense of individuation, insists on being along for the ride, riding shotgun to be the first to arrive at the new destination. Shotgun! Nothing mind can do can imagine its own demise or its own absence or the irrelevancy of its body of association, of its Library of Congress. That's why you have to smack it with impossibility. I mean, smack it. You know. One of my favorite teachings of Leif's was, sometimes you've got to give your mind a good smack.
There's a Rumi poem about God drop kicking you, pulling you by the hair. I'm like, no way. Like, sure enough, it is a poem like that. Found in like a drunken stupor, kind of in playful drunken mood, wants to drop kick you. Pull you by the hair.
There's an intelligence, call it, that feels the strangeness of presence in all of its entirety. Nothing is excluded. So you're now the sensitivity that you're applying to present experience is not stuck in a virtual loop of fantasy. Woo. Present permits you to have a relationship, an intimacy with the inclusive nature of phenomena, the inclusive nature of consciousness. But it's felt. Because mind is not going to superficiality. Oh, you're feeling this, and you're feeling it again, and you're feeling it again, and you're getting that sense of the luxuriating in the feeling of this as the mind is relaxed from going to superficiality.
But relaxed, where is mind? Is well, it nudged down? Is it nudged into oblivion?
No. See, what we call mind appears like any of the other so-called senses. So it's just another digit. Mind is just another digit.
It makes sense of the senses. It's like funny.
Yes. Mind pretends to be autonomous. And through symbology makes sense of everything that it finds. So then now it's king of the realm. Because it's appearing to you, it's fooling you into imagining that mind, namely your mind, is the king of the realm. Because it can comment on everything that can be found. Name it, comment on it, measure it, stitch it together. And so it just sits here in this like autonomous throne. Autonomous throne. Which is a virtual autonomous throne. So where is mind now? Well, it has no seat. It has no throne. It has no crown.
Doesn't mean it's not there.
Is light here? You see, to wonder what might happen to mind, whether present, absent, continuous, subtle, or otherwise, is mind. Because what happens is the question, which is luscious, the question or the imagination, right, or the implication of a thing is mind. And so attention is now, ooh, you've just made something up. Oh, I love you.
Mind.
I love you. Good job. Oh, that was, what else you got? And so then attention has lost, you could say, the shock of intimacy. Because now it has become seduced and enamored of the virtual movement of association. And that happens how? With no delay. There's no genesis to how that occurs. If there's no genesis to how the incredible myth of self occurs, then good luck unwinding it. It's not made of anything. It has no genesis. And yet, it seems to incarcerate you for the long haul, and as for as long as you can remember. How are you going to unlock that key if it's not made of anything? Certainly nothing the Buddha suggests you do can help, and doesn't. Though you might find a couple of accomplished Buddhists, either it's a put-on or something organic happened. Most often it's a put-on.
I like that though, or something organic happens.
Or something organic happens.
That's nice.
Of course it is. Yes, it's nice. As attention is like, I'm still feeling this. Oh my God, I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling that. Not just so fucking happy because I'm feeling it. That's rapture in real time. Which is no time.
Good to be alive.
Isn't it? But rapture becomes an object. How quickly? No delay. So everything that we might refer to is just a presently offer. It's a present offering of myth. Of implication, of hypnosis. There is no rapture. There is no real time. There's nothing that can be found. But liquidating proliferation that is fecund with implication, where there is none. But then you see the fullness of it. Really see the fullness of it. You're not particularizing anymore. It's not personal. The fullness of it. And curiously, you are, do we say, released? Released. Occasionally, from time to time, or perhaps, forever, you're released from the implication of proliferation. Because you see the entirety of it. You're like, once you see all of it, then no particular string is going to seduce you. Because you've really stepped out of the myth of self and seen the presence, the entirety of proliferation, and you're unafflicted. Wow. And invariably, it will, right, suggest to you, you. And you'll go, oh yeah, me.
Back.
And you're back. Yeah.
Hello.
Hello. Which is, okay, that's what it does. But each time you step outside of the influence of the implication, you get a glimpse of the entirety of the inclusivity, objectless inclusivity, rapture in real time, which is no time, passing through the membrane of impossibility. And that shit will take you down. Noose around neck. Find the knower or the observer of mind. Rest there. See what it feels like to really let yourself go. Dance with the membrane of attention and whether anything is found in attention. Form suggests as emptiness, emptiness suggests as form. There's no delay, there's no quarrel, neither is existence.
Could you say neither is existence or non-existence?
That's where it goes. Then you go to the next and the next, right? Yeah. You do neither nor until you're completely out of business. Everything must go. Liquidation sale. The only thing left on the shelf is myself. You can have it. I've already canceled the lease. I'm out of here. There's a lot of back taxes that'll never be paid. It's really fun to be rid of scenarios. All the checkers and the chess pieces are strewn about the room, and the boards are nowhere in sight. It's just absolutely naked space. Yes. The clock is dripping off the wall. Is this about something? Absolutely, if you want it to be. Did something happen to you prior to this moment? Here's a whole set of pastels. Sketch it out. If you can't find yourself, then you don't know what to ameliorate. As long as you're interested in ameliorating something, you're too late. Isn't it strange to be without remedy?
There's this feeling that the mind needs a job.
It is happy to tell you that.
Yes, exactly.
Put me to work. You're starving me. Motherfucker. I'm begging you. I can't stand the nausea of having nothing to do. I'm melting. I'm melting. You killed me. You red-shoed bitch. In here, a little dog, too. I'm melting. The night sky's somber. You'll be happy you came.
You need a testimonial page.
You'll leave with so much.
My life has turned around.
Far out. My life has turned around. I gave it to somebody else.
If it doesn't turn around, then you'll be jumping off that bridge like the first five members.
Yeah.
You lose them frequently, but...
At least they held hands when they left.
Yeah.
Please don't ask me, what about the love?
Oh. The love? I was thinking, what about the penis jokes?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, that's awful. Off camera.
Where's
what about the heart? What about love?
What about the children?
What about the children? The porcupines?
What about the children starving in Africa?
Not all those boat people.
It's like a painting.
Yeah. Nobody can ever like,
what about all the roadkill?
What about the roadkill? What about all the tires having that stress day in and day out?
I know the tires. My God, the tires.
And the pavement gets so hot.
Oh. Nobody takes proper care of their tires either. Mm-hmm. They're always understated.
Ego overinflated, tires underinflated.
You don't want to puff them up too much sooner.
Jamie, you gotta get done with this board stuff.
At least throw it close away.
That's good.
I'm not even entertaining the whole what's down the road. Oh, that's good.
Good.
Well, you can retire and you can hang out in Doylestown and play chess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not sweating it, believe me.
Yeah.
It's just the getting there that's the hard part right now.
Yeah, we can hang out in the middle of the day and eat ice cream.
Oh.
Marie would even come to that.
Yes. Sell pretzels and ice cream.
You guys going out for pretzels and ice cream? You're not going to talk about that weird shit, are you? Count me in.
I shouldn't take chairs. I've learned from a. Hey, what's that guy's name that doesn't come anymore? I remember when I was.
He doesn't come in.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Picking up the chairs, and he's like, you're kind of like ending this, aren't you? You know, it's like, I'm just like, oh, I guess I should just sneak out.
Well, who was that guy?
Oh, you remember.
What did he look like?
His girlfriend would come to.
Gary.
Gary.
Oh, yeah.
I know who you're talking about.
Sure. But I remember him.
Was I here?
I thought I was being a nice guy. Get some chairs. What are you doing?
He gave it all the meaning it had.
That's right. He gave it all the meaning it had.
He doesn't go well enough to know you're just a lazy asshole. He's not going to get any chairs.
Cherry pits on it.
How do you endear yourself to people that way? It's amazing. Let me tell you something about yourself that you probably don't say much about yourself.
So many friends.
That's right. You are a lazy, good-for-nothing asshole. Tell it, sister. Tell it.
A Jew.
See a Jamie.
Well, a Jew, a Catholic.
A Swede.
All right, we'll see you around.
See you, Jamie.
The nice guy Sanger rides again. Any questions?
Questions.
Sweet.
Those are really good strawberries. They're like good.
They're organic.
Oh, well. We asked, you tried. No skin off anyone's back. Until, of course, they come for you. Nice. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll see you again soon.